Welcome to Earth Matters on Gila Members Community Radio, KURU at 89.1 FM, the show that brings you in-depth coverage of local, regional, and national environmental issues. This is Donna Stevens, the Executive Director of the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance, a local watershed protection nonprofit, and I'm your host for today's program. Today we're going to talk about the Public Service Company of New Mexico stipulated agreement and the power replacement case. It sounds a little bit complicated, and it is, but it's basically about clean energy versus dirty energy. We've discussed this before on the show, but since then there's been some interesting new developments. I'm really pleased today to be joined by phone from Albuquerque by the executive director and the president of the New Energy Economy, Mariel Ninassi, who's been involved in this stipulated agreement process for a really long time. Mary will be here in Silver City to give a presentation on this complex issue this coming Saturday, April 25th at 7 p.m. at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship Hall at 3845 North Swan Street. And we invite you, our listeners, to join us. Welcome, Mariel.
Thank you for having me, Donna. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, this is a really interesting subject, which I knew nothing about at the beginning, and this is my third show on it now, so I'm really starting to learn, which is one of the benefits of doing these radio interviews. I wanted to ask you if you would start by giving us a brief background in this case, and if you could especially fill us in on some of the latest developments.
Sure. So on February 15th of 2013, Governor Susana Martinez, the Public Service Company of New Mexico, which people know as PNM, and the Environmental Protection Agency announced that they had an agreement to address regional haze, and that was to close two units at the San Juan Generating Station in Farmington, New Mexico, in the northwest quadrant of the state. And the San Juan Generating Station is a coal plant. It's one of the largest, it's one of the dirtiest, and it's an old coal plant. And where New Mexicans get our energy is 60% from coal. So every time somebody turns on their computer or flicks the switch for their light, 60% of our energy comes from coal, and most of that energy comes from the San Juan Generating Station. And coal is basically being a target from the EPA and the Obama administration for very good reason, because many of you know that coal is the single greatest driver of climate change. And in New Mexico, the way that we experience that is through droughts, and we are in a severe drought right now, and we have been in and out of extreme drought, and mega wildfires that have hit in your area, but in our area as well. We've had two mega wildfires, record-breaking, two of the worst in the last 5 years. And so when I started to work on this issue, I thought, okay, well, if climate is being driven mostly by coal, there's other things that are responsible for it. But people should just know, nationally, coal only represents about 35% of how we get our energy, but it represents more than 75% of global warming pollution. So if we eliminated coal burning from the United States, that would go a long way to addressing the problem. So I was very excited when this, and I was involved in the negotiations between Governor Martinez and PNM and the EPA, and I was very excited, and I thought, oh, this represents an opportunity for transition. Because, as I said before, coal is being targeted for closure. And the question all across the country is, what will the replacement power be? And so I thought, wow, we're at a crossroads, and it's going to usher in new opportunities for cleaner energy and more affordable energy. But what happened was is that in December of 2013, PNM filed its replacement power plan before the New Mexico Public Regulation Commission, and a lot of folks know that as the PRC. Your representative in that part of New Mexico is Sandy Jones. He ran and won re-election. He had been on the PRC beforehand. And so when PNM filed this docket, the docket was a proposal for more coal and more nuclear, a teeny bit of solar, and a little bit of gas, no wind at all. And and it was a very sad day for me. I will just be completely honest. It was like a day where if some of your listeners know, when somebody dies and the next morning you wake up and you're full of grief and the rest of the world is continuing. That's how I felt after working so hard to get to this place where finally there would be a closure of coal. And what happened was is that PNM chose, at that moment when EPA said, you know, we need to close down two, units 2 and 3, half the coal plant, what happened was California Utilities and Tri-State, who were also co-owners with PNM, said, you know what, we're going to take this opportunity to leave, and they're going to transition from their dependence on coal towards more renewable energy resources. But PNM said, okay, then what we'll do is we'll try to sell those coal shares. California was actually selling them for $0 plus liabilities that were associated. And initially, Utah said, oh, we'll take UAMPS is called Utah Association of Municipal Power Systems. That's another co-owner. And they said, okay, we'll take 54 megawatts. And the city of Farmington said, we'll take 65 megawatts. And then what was left was 78 megawatts. And that's what, in fact, PNM applied to the PRC for 78 megawatts. Now, we didn't know all this background at the time, but they said, PNM said to the PRC, this is the most cost-effective and the best energy resource for New Mexicans. Well, we now know, about a year and a half later almost, that it's actually not the most cost-effective portfolio. It's basically what other entities no longer wanted. And you should just all know is that the market for coal has bottomed out. There have been more than 25 coal companies that have gone bankrupt since 2009, while the Dow Jones has gone up 69% since 2009. Coal companies have lost 76% of their value. And so really what I meaning on behalf of New Energy Economy, the advocacy organization that I represent, when we intervened in the case, we said there's got to be a better alternative than coal for a whole host of reasons. And it turned out that we were in fact correct. And nobody has stepped up to actually purchase those unwanted shares. And I refer to those unwanted shares as toxic assets. And I just will say one thing about that, which is that the phrase toxic assets was coined in 2008 when there was a mortgage crisis, a financial crisis, and everybody knows about that, and where people's homes were worth less than the mortgages associated with those assets. And so a lot of people lost their homes, a lot of people went bankrupt, a lot of people lost their life savings, and it led to the greatest economic divide in U.S. history, and it continues to this day, the incredible breadth of inequity that we experience in the United States. Well, the same sort of thing is happening at San Juan, and that is that they have coal shares that nobody wants, that California literally wanted to sell for $0, and PNM's plan before the PRC was to absorb those shares at $0, turn around and sell it to us for $26 million, even though they are literally worth nothing. And the other co-owners, the other utilities, as I said before, Utah and Farmington, who are what I call in the know, they are co-owners and they know how the plant runs and they know the worth of those coal shares. They have declined since this year and a half. They have declined to actually acquire those other coal shares. And so the market has bottomed out. And my analysis of the situation is that shareholders, PNM shareholders, really want to take those unwanted coal shares off their back and put it on ratepayers. And the ultimate definition of toxic assets are assets that are guaranteed to lose money. And I think what just happened on April 8th was that the hearing examiner, which is akin to an administrative law judge, just issued his recommended decision, which basically underscored what we had been saying, that there was too much risk and cost that was associated with PNM's, it's called a stipulation, which means an agreement with a couple of parties. But primarily, he was focused on the coal acquisition. So he said, look, you don't even have a partnership agreement, and you don't even have future coal supply. And so with that kind of record, there's not enough to substantiate us allowing PNM, meaning us, meaning the PRC, to allow PNM to purchase this on behalf of ratepayers. Now, I was thrilled, I just will tell you. We've been working for a year and a half on this case. Specifically, we were working before then also. So we were pleased that this was a breakthrough decision against PNM's coal.
But let me ask you a question, Mariel. Was the hearing examiner's only objection that PNM doesn't have a source for purchasing coal, or did he have other problems?
That's a great question. Unfortunately, I think that the majority of his decision was around a lack of future coal supply and price certainty about that coal supply. And then the other thing that he focused on was that I told you before that a number of other partners, PNM is an owner and operator of the PNM San Juan coal plant, but it only owns 46%, and there are a number of other parties, and PNM has not managed to secure a partnership restructuring agreement because so many entities have left and nobody else will buy more coal. So those are the reasons, those are the main reasons, the three main reasons that the hearing examiner focused on. No coal supply, no coal price certainty, and no partnership agreement going forward. So that's what he based it on.
Okay.
And we just filed yesterday something called exceptions, which are basically objections to the hearing examiner's recommended decision. And what we wanted to make clear for the record was that even though we supported his recommendation that the stipulated agreement not be accepted, we wanted to, I think, address what your question alluded to. And we said, hey, those are true, and then there's a whole bunch of other risks.
Let's talk about those other risks when we come back after a break.
We'll be right back to
continue with Mariel Nanasi here on Earth Matters on Gila Members Community Radio. Stay with us, please. For those of you who just tuned in, I am joined today by Mariel Nanasi, the Executive Director of New Energy Economy. Mariel will be here in Silver City to speak in person and to answer some questions from the audience this coming Saturday, April 25th at 7 p.m. That presentation will be at the Unitarian Universalist Hall on North Swan Street, 3845 North Swan. Please join us, it's free, to learn more about clean and dirty energy in New Mexico. Mariel knows all about this. And right before the break, Mariel, you were talking about the risks of PNM purchasing more coal. Can you continue with that, please?
Thank you. What I was saying is that we had a breakthrough decision by the hearing examiner in this case, in PNM's replacement power case. But the hearing examiner, unfortunately, limited his decision to only three reasons why PNM should not be allowed to have more coal. One was the fuel supply, one was fuel price, and the last was a partnership agreement with other coal co-owners at the coal plant. And what we filed something called exceptions, and which are like objections to the hearing examiner's recommended decision. And so we agree that you should reject PNM's request for more coal, but we said that it was also clear that PNM's request for more coal fails be- because it is not financially beneficial for ratepayers. It is not a reliable performing plant. People should know that the plant only runs 75% of the time. Could you imagine buying a car that you knew only ran three-quarters of the time? It also has enormous exposure to anticipated environmental regulations, which are also costly. And it's a water hog. We are, as we all know, experiencing severe drought in this state. And it consumes right now 6.5 billion gallons of clean water annually. And so this is something, especially compared to solar and wind, which use no water and have none of these other risks, it seems prudent and reasonable to choose the other resources that we have available to us in abundance in New Mexico. And that's what we put forward. The other thing, though, that the hearing examiner ruled on was PNM's nuclear. So we have nuclear in our energy portfolio right now when PNM delivers electricity to us. Right now it's 20%. PNM owns another 10% of a plant in Arizona. It's called Palo Verde Nuclear Plant. And that part, that 10% that it owns of a Palo Verde 3 nuclear reactor has not been allowed into rates before. And so PNM wants to bring that into rates. Why? Because it's currently losing money on the open market, which means that it costs more for PNM to generate the electricity than they can sell it on the open market. It costs them about 4.3 cents a kilowatt to generate the electricity, and they can only sell it on the open market at 3.7 kilowatts. And that's important because PNM is currently losing money on that third nuclear reactor, on its percentage of the third nuclear reactor, and they want to bring it into rates as part of the replacement power plan. And so what the hearing examiner ruled was, well, I can't accept your stipulation because it includes that coal. But if you decide that you want to modify your agreement to not allow the coal but to allow the nuclear in, I would let you bring it in. This is the hearing examiner's ruling. Mm-hmm. I'll let you bring in the nuclear, but not at the price that you say, at a lower price, at what's called net book value. I know it's wonky, and who knew that I would even know any of this stuff, but I wanted to be a climate activist and because I believed in the urgency of it. And so I've learned a whole lot of stuff, and I'm willing to share that. But our position is that no nuclear should come in because, again, it's not the most cost-effective resource for ratepayers because right now, today, solar, wind, and gas, that combination is cheaper than bringing in nuclear. And so on a cost, head-to-head comparison, we would rather have solar and wind and gas, a combination, as opposed to having nuclear. The other thing with nuclear is something that's very intense, and a lot of people think about it and are worried about it, and that is the buildup of fuel storage, nuclear fuel waste. And, after 50 years of the industry producing this waste, we still have no way to deal with it, and it's not safe. And then, of course, there are other risks like Fukushima meltdown kinds of risks if there's a catastrophic disaster. And so it doesn't seem prudent or reasonable for us to choose nuclear when we have alternate resources available that are cheaper, that will create more jobs in New Mexico, and with a whole lot less risk and liability associated with it.
And yet the hearing examiner was allowing this extra nuclear energy to come online.
Well,
he was okay with it. His objection was just the price, right?
His objection was just the price, correct.
And when you talk about ratepayers, when you say ratepayers, just to clarify this, that's people who pay PNM for their electricity, right?
That is exactly right.
Okay.
And people should know that right now the mix of energy resources that PNM uses to deliver that electricity is 60% coal, 20% nuclear, 14% gas, 5% wind, and a measly 1% solar in a state with abundant solar and wind resources. So, frankly, I think we have to turn that on its head and begin with fuel-free resources, solar and wind, and also less environmentally impactful in every way, including climate. Coal is being phased out all over the United States, and all the states around us with those abundant resources in solar and wind are taking advantage of that. So in Colorado and in Texas and in Nevada and Arizona, they are making the move from a dependence on coal and other fossil fuels. And what is happening in real life that is so exciting is that even when there's this mix of solar, wind, and gas to displace coal, that it has already happened, I mean, in true life experience, that solar and wind have actually displaced the need even for gas at a cheaper cost, because again, there is no fuel charge with solar and wind. Once you know what the initial cost is, then it's stable for and guaranteed for 25 years. So that's where we need to be going. One of the things that we asked for in this case is a request for proposal for the replacement power that was lost from the closing of coal. And what we would have, and that's another objection that we had to the recommended decision, what we would have is transparency as to price and what is the best alternative resource for replacement. But instead, what happened was PNM chose its own coal and its own nuclear that, frankly, has been unwanted. You know, both of these plants are really old. Why would we want to buy coal from a 40-year-old plant and nuclear from a 27-year-old plant when we could have brand new solar and wind that would create a lot of jobs? And PNM admitted in this case that their plan would create no jobs, zero jobs. And so those are really other factors to be considered as well when we're trying to build a new energy economy.
So you're saying that a lot of the surrounding states surrounding New Mexico are doing the right thing, and they're doing it because it's more economically viable. So,
yeah, it's economically viable, and it's also creating literally thousands of jobs. I mean, Colorado's economy, they have 5,500 new jobs in the wind and solar business. It's remarkable, and we could use some of those jobs here. Now, solar, you know, for homeowners and for small businesses, now that business is booming in New Mexico. It's actually a bright spot in our economy, in fact. It's one of the brightest spots in terms of job creation. But we need policies that will drive that even further. And many of you know that Governor Martinez just vetoed a bipartisan bill to extend the tax credits for renewable energy deployment, production and deployment in New Mexico, which is heartbreaking.
Yeah. We seem like we're kind of at the bottom of the barrel on some of these policies. And I know that when I was up at the PRC's hearings in early January, that the Navajo Nation president spoke at length about how he supported PNM's plan because it created jobs. But he sort of neglected to mention the fact that renewable energy would create new jobs. He just left that whole piece out. And so I wanted to talk about that. And let's go to a break first. And this is a good point for a break. And we can talk about jobs when we come back. So stay with us, please. For those of you who have just tuned in, I am joined today on the phone by Mariel Nanasi, the Executive Director of the New Energy Economy. Mary will be here in Silver City to speak in person and answer your questions this coming Saturday, April 25th, 7 p.m. at the Unitarian Universalist Hall at 3845 North Swan Street. Please join us to learn more about clean and dirty energy in New Mexico. That's what this whole show is about. We've had a couple others about that. And right before the break, we were saying that renewable energy creates jobs. Can you talk about that a little bit more, please, Mariel?
Yeah, there was this moment at the PRC hearing that was really illustrative. And one of our experts was a former public utility commissioner from Colorado, in fact. And he talked about using the request for a proposal process as a way to vet what the best energy resource to displace closing of coal. And he also was asked by one of our PRC commissioners, actually the one that represents your district, Sandy Jones, well, let me ask you about the coal mining jobs and would we lose them and what's the effect on the economy? And he asked him, well, what was your experience in Colorado? And he just gave such a beautifully humane answer. And he says, first of all, technically, PRC's job is not to concern itself with employment, though we care about that as a society. And he said, you know, I believe that when there's a transition of anything, whether it's from film to digital or from, you know, handheld phones to cell phones or from the horse and buggy to cars, there is going to be a transition in the economy for the workers in that old mode of doing whatever, transportation or fuel production or cell phones or film. And he says, if we hold out as a priority and a value that we want to retrain those workers who have served us, we can do it. And he says, I believe that if we lived up to that value, that we could retrain 100% of those people. And he said, in Colorado, there were 2,500 coal miners who lost their job. And he says, it's not a one-to-one comparison when you're talking about human lives. But he says, right now in Colorado, there are 5,500 new jobs in wind and solar. And that's everything from the manufacturing to the installation and everything in between. And so he says, if you weighed them, there's more jobs in the clean energy economy than there are in the dirty economy. And we already know that on a national level, there are more jobs in, right today, in wind and solar than there is in coal. So that being said, but we're talking about real lives. And he said, you know, if we held this up as something that was a priority for us as a society, then we would have to have a number of different organizations and entities come together. So it might be the legislature, it might be workforce development and retraining, it might be the Public Regulation Commission. And so there would be a whole real effort. But it seems to me that, frankly, that argument is really used as a red herring, and that those people are being used by the PNMs of the world to justify continued operation of coal. Because the truth of the matter is that where there's coal being mined and burned, that's not even where PNM's service territory is. So there's no, PNM doesn't serve Farmington at all. So it's a complicated question, and if you're honest about it, then there could be lots of different possible answers, but I think it's just used as one of the reasons why to sort of maintain the status quo, and that's despite or in light of the knowledge that we have that coal is not only bad for climate reasons. I mean, you should know that one out of every four high school students in New Mexico has asthma. Those are our people. And those are the people who are going to replace us and live in this next society, and yet we are polluting the air so much. We are literally changing the chemistry of the air so people can't do the most basic thing, which is to breathe. And the lung disease and heart disease and strokes, especially around coal plants and coal mining, is very intense. And you brought up the fact that Navajo leadership said, oh, well, we want to continue coal mining because of jobs. Well, one of the Navajo people who testified said, what good is a job if I die at 55? And that's what's happening. You know, PNM and BHP Billiton, who owns the coal mine, they have black lung insurance. That's the kind of things that's the kind of legacy that we're leaving our children. And then there's all the other pollution, and those are the local pollution, which is contaminating the waterways. 75% of all the waterways in New Mexico are contaminated with mercury. That is a direct result from all the coal burning on or around New Mexico, because in real life there are no borders, and these things that go that are spewed out of the stacks of coal plants, they travel to Colorado and they in all parts of New Mexico and as far away as Arizona and the Grand Canyon. And so we are literally poisoning the place that we love, and that's the, you know, that's really why I got into this work and have, you know, have radically shifted my life to dedicate myself to trying to close PNM's coal plants, you know, which is the largest single source of carbon pollution in New Mexico and is one of the largest sources of a whole host of other really horrible contaminants, nitrogen oxides and sulfur dioxides and particulate matter and mercury and lead and arsenic and, you know, on and on. And these are things that our body does not know how to assimilate. And one last thing about the health is that particularly there's something coal ash, which is like when you burn wood in a fireplace, it makes ash. Well, when you burn coal, it also produces ash. Millions and millions of tons of coal ash are produced. And right now, PNM just takes it and throws it back into the mine from which they got the coal, and that just leaches into the groundwater and is literally contaminating and poisoning our groundwater. And that coal ash is has the chemicals in there, again, lead and arsenic and mercury, combined, for some reason, when it's in the ash form, it has a synergistic effect and actually sort of has an exponential rate of toxicity, and it's poison for us, and this is what we're doing, and so we have a lot of reason to close down coal. And just tomorrow, on Wednesday, on April 22nd, the hearing examiner is going to be presenting his recommended decision to the full PRC, and it's possible that they will just deliberate. They will deliberate, but it's possible that they might even vote on PNM's case. And so that'll be really exciting to be present for, and I hope that your listeners will be paying attention to either New Energy Economy Facebook page or our website, newenergyeconomy.org. You can find out what happened at the PRC tomorrow if there was a decision that's made. I'm sure everybody will hear about it on the radio or in the newspaper.
And that hearing will take place on Earth Day, so it would be really symbolic and more than symbolic, even if they did the right thing. I wanted to ask you, Mariel, some of the people who object to who support PNM's energy replacement plan, they cite concerns that if more renewable energy were incorporated in the replacement plan, that New Mexico's electricity rates would increase. Is this true?
No. As a matter of fact, we had an alternative replacement power plan just to replace the units 2 and 3, and PNM ran it through their own computer modeling, and it showed that our replacement plan with, and this is what we suggested, instead of more coal and nuclear, we suggested 260 megawatts of solar and 400 megawatts of wind and less gas than PNM had suggested. And that was cheaper than PNM's plan. And it would create hundreds, if not thousands, of jobs. So, yeah, we need to transition. And, you know, PNM, the other thing that they say, I'll just tell you, is the other big excuse is, oh, it's not reliable. Well, we have the solar and wind that's on PNM's portfolio right now is completely reliable. And if you look at the states around us, Colorado is heading towards 30% renewables. California is less than that, but is moving towards 30%. And if all of those states can handle it and what is called integrated into the portfolio, then we can too. And if PNM is not able to do that, then they shouldn't be in the energy business, which I will say, one of the problems with this whole scenario is that PNM is a regulated monopoly. So just like the Monopoly game that people played when they were children, when you landed on the electric, utility, you paid. You always paid. And we always pay. And PNM just had another rate increase application, which we filed a motion to reject the rate case application, which was also granted by another hearing examiner at the PRC. That happened last week because they filed an incomplete application. And just by winning that, we save consumers $9 million a month, all the consumers together. And PNM's rate increase and PNM's past rate increases are all about coal and nuclear. They're not about solar and wind because we hardly have any on our system. So we would never know that it's more costly because, I mean, they say they like to have, you know, a pretty white girl with a little daisy and say, oh, we like solar, but it's so costly and it's not reliable. Well, how come all these other states are doing it? And the best proof of what's possible is that it's been done. And the thing, again, is that right now PNM is a regulated monopoly. And if we had true competition like they do in other states and allowed the request for a proposal proposition that New Energy Economy and some of the other interveners put forth as what should happen, then we would have a true evaluation process that could discern which is the best resource and at what cost.
That's a good stopping point. And after we come back from this break, I want to talk to you about PNM and how they really miscalculated a lot of the costs in their strategist program. So please stay with us. We'll be right back after this short break. Welcome back to Earth Matters, the show that brings you coverage of environmental issues. I'm speaking today with Mariel Nanasi, and she is the Executive Director of New Energy Economy. Mariel will be here in Silver City on Saturday, April 25th at 7 p.m. at the Unitarian Universalist Hall at 3845 North Swan Street. This is a free presentation, and she will be talking about clean and dirty energy in New Mexico, PNM, the Public Regulation Commission, and switching to a new energy economy. Mariel, before the break, we just really briefly touched on PNM and a modeling program that they used called Strategist. And I understand, you know, it's the old garbage in, garbage out kind of issue, is that PNM put in some inputs into this program that weren't really exactly accurate, and that New Energy Economy then re-ran some of the numbers. Can you tell us about that, please?
Sure. Well, let me just say to the listeners, if you thought about it without knowing anything, hey, do you want to replace coal with, number one, coal, more coal from a dirty, aging plant that is subject to environmental regulatory risk and huge liabilities, both legacy liabilities and future decommissioning liabilities, which is the Orwellian term of make it apparently safe again and like it used to look before the coal plant came, and an old 27-year-old nuclear plant, again, that has fuel waste associated with it, a more decommissioning cost and is expensive. Or, B, your second choice is solar, wind, and gas to augment, or the blossoming battery storage industry. So most people would choose solar and wind with gas to augment. So that was me, too. But PNM filed thousands of pages of testimony, and they said, look, our plan is the most cost-effective plan. It's the best plan. It's the most reliable plan. And we know. And you know what? And not only do we know, and you should trust us, because we are smart, and we have engineers, and this is our business, and we are your monopoly utility, but we used a computer model. It happens to be a proprietary software computer model that only we have access to, but when we used that model, it also chose, out of the thousands of possibilities out there, our own coal and our own nuclear. Imagine that. Yeah. See how great we are? It's proof, and you should just accept our position. Well, the strategist, which is the name of the computer model, which is used in the utility business, cost $17,000 for a 2-month lease. And to be perfectly honest with you, I was a little nervous about that because we're a little nonprofit and we raise our money dollar by dollar, $100, $50, $26. And we have foundation grants as well, but we work really hard to raise the money. And $17,000 is a lot of money to spend. And I was a little bit concerned about that big of a chunk. Anyway, we decided that we were going to do it. And we went to this company, it's called Vintex, and we purchased the lease. And we had an expert who was an expert in strategist. And lo and behold, when he found out, and I should just tell you that there's a process in a hearing or a trial, and it's called discovery beforehand, before the hearing. And the purpose of discovery is to ask questions and get documents so that there's no surprises at the hearing. That's like the general idea of a civil trial. And so we had asked discovery questions and document requests, as is allowed by the law, of PNM, and sometimes they responded and said, well, we can't give you that information because it's proprietary and you don't have a lease, and so we're not going to answer those questions because we don't want to violate our contract with Vintex. So we got the lease. And once we got the lease, we got access to all those documents and the input runs that PNM used to run these scenarios, these energy scenarios. And what we found out was some very big things. So one of the things was that PNM had failed to include what's called ongoing capital expenditures. That alone was a $532 million deficiency. $532 million. And what ongoing capital expenditures are is like the cost of running the coal plant, the cost of running the nuclear plant. Well, how could you not put those costs in when those are known costs? PNM's paying them already today. And they're like, oops, okay, we'll rerun our strategists and we'll include those ongoing capital expenditures. And then we found out some other things. And some of the other things that we found out were that PNM increased the cost of wind and solar beyond PNM's own costs that they have submitted in other PRC cases. Okay, so for instance, they said right now PNM in their renewable energy case said that their new 40 megawatts of solar were going to cost a ratepayer 6.8 cents a kilowatt hour. But what did they put it in a strategist for? 10 cents. And they said, They didn't give it a reason why they did that. They just said, well, we think that the cost might go up, which of course is antithetical to everything that we know about the market in solar anyway, because the price of solar has continuously gone down in the last 10 years. So that's absurd that they would put that in, a price like that. And then they did something else. So not only did they increase the price of solar and wind, and they also constrained the amount of wind to just 100 megawatts, but they also did something else. And what they did was they underestimated the price of coal by $367 million. So between the failure to include capital expenditures and the $367 million and another $222 million mistake that they made, there were mistakes in the case of over $1.1 billion. And one of the reasons that the city of Farmington chose not to continue to buy more coal shares was they said that the plant was unreliable and that the coal was uneconomic. That means price. And so when we found out that there were $1.1 billion of mistakes, and we put in the correct PNM's correct numbers, like 6.8 cents for solar instead of 10 cents for solar, what happened was astonishing, something that we never expected. Not only, as I said before, was our solar and wind and gas plan superior to PNM's coal and nuclear plan, but something that was astonishing was strategists chose to close down the entire plant, all four units, and that it would save ratepayers more than $300 million over a 20-year period. So that whole argument that, oh, coal and nuclear is a safe and economic bet was refuted by strategists' own truthful decision.
And just to clarify, Mariel, strategist is looking only at economics. It's not
looking
at job creation or health or pollution or climate change or anything. Just the money.
Exactly. It did include one thing, which is a price for carbon, because PNM has been ordered to include that. But, you know, if the Clean Power Plan under Obama gets promulgated. But other than that, no other costs, no water costs, no other quote-unquote, externalized costs. So it was really great that we were able, we still owe the money, to be perfectly honest, on that lease, but it was really great that we asked them for a payment plan and we're paying our bills. And the thing is that it's just a really great thing that we're ultimately able to get access to the strategist. But one of the things we argued in our exceptions and our objection to the recommended decision was we said, look, we shouldn't have to, this is a penalty against the people of New Mexico to have the company, who's supposed to be a regulated company, who's supposed to serve the public, be able to basically use hidden information in a black box. And that was really unacceptable. And so we argue, you know, in our exceptions, we raise that issue. But I just want to end, because I know that we're coming to the hour, with I'd love to meet with people in Silver City to talk about how we've gotten to this place, because we did some innovative legal strategizing, there's no question about it, and we did things like get the strategist lease. But there was another extremely important facet to this case, and that was all the organizing we did. And it included people from Silver City and Las Cruces and in your surrounding area. And people came from far away to come and give public comment. And there were more than 10,000 letters that the PRC received in this case, and hundreds of people gave public comment. And the press, we worked with the press an awful lot to have them help get out the message about what was wrong with PNM's plan. And a lot of people said to us in the beginning, like, you'll never win, you'll never be able to do this. The PRC is, you know, a stuck institution, and even worse words than that, so we'll just leave it at that. But we just said, look, we've got to stand up for what's true and be truth-tellers in an age when that's not really so popular, but yet people are anxious. People are feeling such deep concern and worry. And if we could tap into that and tell the truth and stand up and fight for what's right and know that there is another alternative, another vision, another world is possible, and if we could come together to express that, and that's really been probably one of the most satisfying parts of this whole experience is being able to be interviewed by you and being able to connect, even just briefly, to your listeners on community radio.
We're about out of time here, Mariel, but I just wanted to thank you so much for joining me today to talk about this really important issue. And I want to encourage our listeners to show up Saturday, April 25th, 7 p.m., UU Hall. Thanks to our audio engineer and KURU guru, Kyle Johnson. Thanks to our listeners. If you missed any of this important program, go to Gila Members Community Radio on the Earth Matters page for archives of all the programs. I'm Donna Stevens. Please tune in next week.